Hi, this is Matt Groening, creator of Grandpa Simpson, welcoming you to Lemon of Troy, episode 2F22. I think one of the classic Simpsons episodes, written by Brent Forrester and first broadcast May 14th, 1995.
This is David Merkin, executive producer and showrunner.
Greg Daniels, I was on the writing staff.
Right before Jim talked, I just wanted to say that opening there, I wish there were scratches. We should have gone in and scratched it up because it's perfect, but it needs to look like it's old. I'm sorry, take it away, Jim.
I don't know how I can top that, but I directed this episode.
It's Jim Reardon, our great director.
David Silverman, supervising director.
David S. Cohen, one of the writers.
You know what's really great is, like, here it is 10 years later, and we're still giving notes.
I very rarely do that, but it just, I thought it would age after 10 years.
Well, I have to say, this episode, although it's one of my favorites, features my least favorite character in the entire history of this series.
Database.
Oh!
I gave it away. You can turn off the commentary now. Database did talk too much during this episode. I love Database. I love Database, but he has to only do, like, one or two lines an episode, and then, or you're in trouble.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is this Database's first appearance?
No, Database's first appearance, I believe, is in Bart's Comet.
Oh, right.
Created by Mr. Schwartzwelder, and is perfect in that episode.
Right.
Because Database says, like, two lines brilliantly. It must be coming at us at an enormous speed. One of favorite insane lines.
I'm sure you discussed this when you did that commentary, but I wasn't here, so I'm feeling free to discuss it again. I remember when Nancy first did that voice, everybody just fell on the floor, basically laughing. It came so out of outer space.
Great, I was on the floor, but I was writhing.
And what? The more Matt hates something, the more fun we have to do.
That's true. I feel like I'm the school marm boy. Now, boys, no Hitler jokes.
Hitler. And as been mentioned, this was written by Brent Forrester, who did a terrific job on this episode, and really did capture a feeling that we really enjoyed talking about, which was gang wars of kids who were too young to really do much damage to each other. And it's nice the way it escalates into that. I don't want to give it away, but it escalates into the adults, too. And just the idea of warring factions of people based on where they're from is absolutely hilarious to me, because I grew up with no pride of where I was from whatsoever. I'm not going to mention because, but I mean, it's just like, it's who you are. It's not where you're from. People.
But you're like, you're Mr. Philly, right?
Oh, no.
After so many years of hearing you talk about cheesesteaks.
You know, I do come from Philadelphia, and I've never had a cheesesteak. And, you know, Philadelphia's fine. You know, my family's there. Everything, it's all good. But I actually was in Philadelphia, but I also was in New Jersey. I spent time in Summers Point and Ocean City, which I just adore. I do love those places. And I preferred the beach, so I wasn't that excited about Philadelphia. I was excited that Philadelphia was close to it. But I love New York, and New York's only 90 minutes from Philadelphia, so... Anyway, I'll never pull myself out of this.
The volume's been down for the last...
Brent Forrester is great, by the way. I just want to go on the record as saying that one of my favorite writers I've ever worked with. Because he's always in a good mood. Like, you know, there could be rain leaking through the roof at 2 a.m. after we've been pitching on the same joke for 12 hours, and he will be in a good mood and make everyone feel happier to be.
He also
there.
Makes you feel funnier too, doesn't he? I mean, you know, he laughs at everybody's jokes. He's really excited to be there.
Very positive. Okay.
Classic sociopathic behavior.
And he has graphomania. So you've never seen it. Like, he's always, before he pitches a joke, he writes down about 100 alternatives on his script, and then he picks one and reads it aloud.
He's very, very professional. He actually was my number two on King of the Hill in the second season, and he used to go to enormous lengths to try and get my attention because I had so much producing to do, and he used to make these binders where he would cut out pictures of models from Victoria's Secret and stuff like that and put them there. You'd see a big picture of a model, and you'd turn the page and would say, Greg, we really have to approve these stories. There'd be another picture of another model.
Another picture of another model. And then those models started to disappear, remember?
Yeah, Greg,
and it's never been put together. Yeah. We're going to get Brent arrested for this description. Would have him behind bars very quickly.
That's a crud rock. It belongs in Crud Town.
Was this the first mention of Shelbyville?
No.
Shelbyville had been there.
No, it has a long and varied history.
Is there something first about this that we've
nothing?
First
it's all ripped
seen?
Off from other things. It's all very derivative.
But this is the first time we had a lemon tree, I believe.
Ah, yes, there you go.
First time we saw the kids of Shelbyville.
Yes.
That's Tress playing this character here.
It's the alternate universe Bard,
fantastic, fantastic job. She's able to completely capture the sound of a bully from the Our Gang comedies, I think, and which is what I love. I mean, I just, it's the perfect sound.
Grandpa's the name. Did you know this tree dates back to frontier times?
Wow.
Shut up! It all began when Jebediah Springfield first came to these lands with his
partner. I will say, I think this was the most standing aroundest episode I ever directed. Every scene is a bunch of people listening to somebody give a speech.
But yeah, you still made it very visual, Jim, and it goes a lot of places, and it has a feeling of scope.
We were just trying to run out of ways to stage people standing around, so I think I gave up by the third act.
By the way, I like the way you have Jebediah Springfield posed a lot like the statue when he's giving his speech.
Cousins,
because they're so attractive.
Hilarious performance by Hank as the cousin marrying Shelbyvillian for a future Shelby.
Well, then we'll form our own town.
I do love the way the clouds ominously form behind.
Well, there's a white one in the background that got covered up by a dark.
It may have been around this point when we were pitching the Flavorless Mush that I remember George Meyer talking about how at one point as an experiment he tried to live solely on a flavorless mush that was made out of like ground up peas and rice or something.
And how long did he survive on that?
Not that long. I remember he said he couldn't stand it, but he thought it would be like a moral victory if he could live on a flavorless mush.
Who's moral?
That'll show him.
Now George Meyer eats nothing but veal. Interesting how people change. Now, he's still a big vegetarian, as am I. So, and we're eventually going to get back together with David Cohen on this is a little plug for an upcoming Simpsons set.
I like what I'm hearing.
Yes, we'll be doing the...
I'll buy five of those.
Lisa the Vegetarian.
Are you sure it wouldn't be faster to just tell us what happened?
No! I said there's no time to explain, and I stick by that!
This actually is a version of Springfield that's very idyllic. You know, there's a lot of them running through streams and woods that are not particularly polluted. We sort of wanted to have, like, for one little moment that the kids did find areas that weren't horribly decimated for the nature of this story.
That's also, I think, a reflection of Brent's personality a little bit, that, like, when an old man starts to talk, the kids very quickly sit with their legs crossed to hear the old man.
You don't think he was writing that sarcastically?
I don't think he's a sarcastic person.
Oh, that's interesting.
Where are you going, Bart?
Mom, you won't believe this, but something you said the other day really got through to me.
And now... I am going to teach some kids a lesson.
I choose to take that literally.
Just to Shelbyville!
Yes, Bart's a tutor now. Teuton, son! Teuton!
Teuton, son, what a great act break.
Hey!
We all liked it. We're all thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I think that took us till about 2:30 in the morning. This also is the way you feel as a kid, like one piece of equipment is going to make you magic in some way. I remember always looking for a flying carpet, a carpet that would actually take off at some point, or even more realistically, an umbrella. I thought with the right jump off a high enough height of a step or a house, try it, kids, and the right amount of... you know, the right amount of lift that you were going to eventually fly. It was just a matter of time.
Did you watch Batman on TV?
Yes, I did.
Because the Penguin used his umbrella for that.
Absolutely.
And I think it
killed more children than anything in
a repeatable
history
act.
Of television. It was really interesting the way the grass in Shelbyville is... this is one of my favorite jokes of all time. They make such a big deal about it. And the girls, the women, the smart women know how meaningless borders are.
By staring directly at the sun.
Here's a tip. Put a pinch of sage in your boots, and all day long a spicy scent is your reward.
There's a lot of wimps in this show.
A lot of them. Of course, we slap them every time they talk. We have something nasty happening to them.
Is this the episode where Milhouse meets another kid named Milhouse?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
I love that.
And it was Brent's line, this is what happens when doves cry.
Behind that wall we should beat up?
No time to check it out now. We've got lemonade to sell.
I like they even have an evil dog.
Radical. That's Brent, too.
They're very evil there.
I say radical. That's my thing.
He never actually said radical before this episode.
Never said it. He's just really fixated on this kid.
It's lunchtime. Do you know where your brother is tutoring?
Tutoring? The only thing Bart's teaching is guerrilla combat in Shelbyville.
Well, do you have a number where we can reach?
I love how long it takes Marge to understand what's going on. And when she does,
I love Marge's big gasps.
Marge got a tutoring job and joined a violence gang.
A violence gang. I remember that.
Marge is the greatest character to write because she does represent all our opinions of overreacting, overprotective, freaked out moms and parents in general. And it's just, it's
a violence gang.
A violence gang. Yeah, she knows all the cool terms.
Your wussiness better come in handy.
I want some answers. Okay, folks, look, I called the police captain in Shelbyville. He says he hasn't seen our kids, but if they show up in the morgue, he's gonna fax us.
Oh, man, I hate those Shelbyville jerks.
Honey, I was born in Shelbyville.
And it tears me up inside.
This is my fault. I tried to teach Bart about town pride, but the power of my words filled him with a sort of madness.
Now, Marge, you can't blame all of Bart's problems on your one little speech. If anything turned him bad, it's that time you let him wear a bathing suit instead of...
Hey, Greg, I remember a cruel trick that was your idea that you played on David Merkin once. Would this be an appropriate time to reveal this for the first time?
Who are you looking at?
Who played a cruel trick on me? Was it Greg?
I don't know.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea.
This is one of my favorite memories from The Simpsons just popped into my mind here.
All right,
comment on something here, Dave?
No, go ahead.
Could easily have been someone else.
I'm going to unveil a terrible trick that was played on David Merkin in the writer's room.
Uh-oh.
Do you remember once they came to, they tented the entire building we were working in, your office, the room we worked in?
Yes.
For termites.
They did. Yeah, we actually work in an office that was, you know, the bungalow of all 20th Century Fox. It was where all the stars had their dressing rooms and where they lived when they were doing a movie. Marilyn Monroe and Frank Sinatra, and it's a big building. Shirley Temple and Will Rogers.
So they had put a termite tent up over this whole building, and we were all a bit nervous that they were going to start pumping the gas in while we were still in there, and they kept assuring us there wouldn't be a problem. So then I went out to get some coffee or something in the kitchen, and Greg Daniels was in there as well. And then Greg swore me to silence as we opened up under the sink and got out some ammonia.
Oh, really?
I remember
this
now.
We poured it in a coffee cup and carried it back into the room as if we had gotten cups of coffee, put them down in the coffee table, and then gradually everyone in the room started to smell this chemical odor.
Yeah, I remember that.
And began to fear that they were pumping the gas, whereupon you called it a day, which was the ultimate goal of this trick.
Yeah. Wow. So then two of you owe me
we
half
owe you
a day.
Of work.
That's right. That's great. Okay. I'm going to use you on the Simpsons movie then. You guys are now assigned.
I was literally biting my cheeks as everyone tried
I remember
to report
that, yeah.
the poison pumping.
Wow.
That was very...
Well, and now I will reveal, I realized it was pneumonia. I wanted to get the hell out of there, too. This is a perfect excuse. I'm not going to sit under here with a tent. No, I didn't know that, but actually, thank you for the day off. I think that was a good thing.
Yeah.
Hey, wait, do you smell something, Greg?
You know, we think some kids of ours may be missing in your town.
Missing children.
Sounds like Springfield's got a discipline problem.
Maybe that's why we beat him at football nearly half the time, huh?
Quit stalling, kid! Write Springfield sucks in giant letters!
Oh.
I really was nervous when they put the tent over. And I probably would have. I'm the kind of person that would have come up with something that I was smelling, even if I wasn't smelling.
I know.
Because I thought that the tent would have been.
You didn't have to push you very far.
No, I didn't. So I would have thought
you're
that the tent.
About chemicals. And,
chemicals and the tent must have residue
yeah,
from other times.
I think so, too.
I didn't think we should
also,
be in there with the tent.
Completely creepy to be to have it be like red and yellow inside the room because the sunlight's coming through. Turn my
oh,
tent.
What's the worst that could happen?
So anyway, that's the story of this episode.
I think that was also a Brent joke that I quite like. And I apologize to anybody, I might not be getting right. But when it says motorcycle, it's, you know, the nasty tattoos, and then the last one just says motorcycle.
Hey, look, someone's attracted.
Subtle but funny. What can I tell you? This is very nicely done, Jim and
well,
David.
I didn't draw it, so I can't do it.
But you directed it.
When, at what point, I mean, was it early on when you decided to have the Shelbyville father and son basically be doppelgangers of Bart and Homer? I mean, was that right from the beginning?
Yeah, that was pretty early on that idea came from. And we have not seen it. Been all this talking. Have we seen the father yet?
Not yet. No.
Not yet. You'll see the hilarious thing about the father, just because we don't have time when we get to it, is that, yeah, you see we do all the...
I just remember pitching on this chase scene, which doesn't seem particularly funny, but
no, okay, how about if they go through a pipe and...
No, it was exciting, but then we had the funny characters that they passed.
Uh-oh. Wet cement.
Wet cement gets its revenge on Bart.
Quit crying.
What's that? Struggle now.
You had your chance. Well,
great sound. Great sound by Hank there. And then we pay off the whole Roman numerals thing. We teach kids it's important to learn. This is a very good episode to teach you how important it is to pay attention in school. See? Because it could be tigers if you didn't pay attention.
And Roman numerals.
Caution. Exit through door 7 only. All other rooms contain...
I like the way the caution is only taped there. It's like fall to anything could happen to him.
It's sued all the time in that zoo. Cool.
The next person who comes in is really in trouble.
Now, whose childhood experience was this part based on?
Being with the tigers and everything? All of ours. I don't think there's any child that hasn't been chased by a tiger.
Is this the untimely end of Milhouse?
That's a very typical line that we like to write. Is this the end of Lenny? Is this the end of Milhouse? If you're about to die, it's probably not the best thing to say.
That's a movie parody, too, obviously, right?
Is this the end of Little Rico?
Is this the end of
Little Caesar?
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Kids can't get
And I think of that's from Star Wars, right?
Yeah. Little Star Wars, I believe. Yeah.
I got it. I said I've got it.
That's a very old joke.
I got it.
Very, very old, but still works.
That was a good one. So, Rocky 5 plus... Rocky 2.
I really do like the way this was figured
Rocky
out.
Seven.
You know, the kids would know Roman numerals based on movies, so it's all accurate. Just made it.
Oh, it's no use. I'm never going to find that tree. This whole raid was...
This is the kind of screw the audience joke that I like. Think, hey, there's Lemon right behind that lemon shake rock.
That's a very Simpson-esque.
Very, very Simpson-esque. But anyway, you'll see that...
Well, that's a Mad Max thing, right?
That's totally Mad Max, right. The father's voice is Walter Matthau. Walter Matthau as done by Hank. Where Homer used to be Walter Matthau as done by Dan Castellaneta. So it's a perfect that Homer's doppelganger is a Walter Matthau doppelganger.
Now, if that Shelbyville dad had a big role for years and years on the show, he might have morphed. His voice might have turned into more Homer.
That's right. That's right. Because as you guys probably remember, Homer used to sound much more like...
Well, you know, it was when he was first trying out the Homer voice. And by the way, he didn't really audition. They said in the Tracy Ullman show, use Dan, use Julie. And so... Dan was able to dial it. He says, do you want this much Walter Matthau or this much? He was absolutely able to dial it up and dial it down. It was really amazing.
One trick we do bar shots or shooting through bars is trying to get the width of the bars right, because if you put them too close together, it covers up the eyes. But if you bring them too far apart, you could just climb right through.
Right.
It's always a pain.
It was well done. And I love the way you did the lemon, where he's trying to look cocky with the lemon, yet his eyes water and everything. But Dan obviously changed his Walter Matthau-esque voice, because once he started doing the half hours, he said it was very difficult to keep the Walter Matthau aspect of Homer going. It became more like this because it was easier for him to do. And at the same time, a much better, much more creative voice, I think.
It was easier for him to yell. It's harder to do in the Walter Matthau voice.
As a yell, and yes, yeah. Homer yells a lot.
Well, all the voices changed, I think.
They've all evolved, just like the designs.
Not database.
Sadly. No, but database used, in moderation, brilliant.
Well, that's why it's called Lemon of Troy.
I'll get the gate.
The tree seems to be smaller in the silhouette shot.
It changes a little bit. I like the sequence with the dog quite a bit. I think it's very cool. This is like that classic thing.
Faster, son! He's got a taste for meat now!
He only made it worse with the meat. This I love. And that's a great sound effect by Travis there.
Get out here, son! There's a doings a transpiring! See the beans?
Got it, Flanders!
See, the gate should be closed by now.
Yes, yes.
We cheat just a little bit here by about 5 minutes. Look, it's still... And then it does damage his car. Which...
Eat my shorts, Shelbyville!
Eat my shorts!
My favorite line.
Yes, eat all of our shirts!
This is also very good. Shake harder, boy. I thought.
Shake harder, boy.
Very nice thing. And this is one of my favorite things, too. And then the sound of the beeping as a failure sound is perfect. By the way, I hate that beeping. Whoever invented it, you know, it makes sense to know that a truck's backing up to have a beep, but you don't need to know a truck's backing up 10 miles away from the damn truck. The beeps don't have to be that loud. They should be controlled. And the person that makes them that loud, he should die.
Or she.
Or she, that's right. I
that's
doubt.
That's absolutely correct.
And with that? No, does it make sense that a truck 8 blocks away, we have to listen to it back up? No!
It banished the awful lemon tree forever. Because it was
Homer. This looks like it's designed off of the old, of the doppelganger Homer. Glass of turnip
juice. It is like an old grandpa.
Yes.
Or not an old grandpa, but yet another grandpa. Thanks for listening. I hope you listened to these in order. If you didn't, you need to go back and listen to them again in order to understand everything that we're doing and all the levels.
You put a lot of secret messages in.
A lot of secret messages in.
Write down what you said and take every fifth word.
And remember, you know, it's a huge $20 million prize to whoever figures it out.
I think
good luck.
Who shot Mr. Burns?
Good night, everybody. Good night.